in the city who have been fortunate enough to be sports broadcasters would love to have a career like Ted's. Mm-hmm. Every single one of us.
Welcome to the Darren Smith Show.
This is the big one, boys. This is the one that brings us back.
Soon, AM radio will reign king once more.
Oh, yeah. Now, here's Darren.
We love you. We love you forever and ever.
On Extra 1360.
Hour number three, it's Extra 1360. You can find us on HD Radio at 101.5 FM, channel number two. You can listen to us via the iHeartRadio app. It is a gorgeous Friday afternoon. It is our final hour for the week. We head into a three-day work weekend, or a three-day non-work weekend, I guess, as the case would be. And we've got some divisional round football games to discuss. High quality games, really, really good storylines, lots happening in the NFL. We love chatting it up with Clark Judge, Talk of Fame Network. You can find it at si.com. Clark Judge joins us here this Friday afternoon on Extra 1360. Good afternoon, Clark. How are you?
I'm doing fine, Darren. How are you?
I am great. Thank you. It is a Chamber of Commerce type day here in San Diego, so life is very, very good as we get set for a long weekend. Clark, let's start with some of these coaching moves, because you know we haven't spent a ton of time on it. We've talked a little bit about the games. Let's start geographically with the one closest to you. How's it going over in the northeast quadrant of the United States? Robert Saleh to the New York Jets.
New York loves it. I mean it. They love it because they know what he did for the 49ers, and so do I. I mean, I cover that team and I follow them closely. And honestly, I thought that Houston might and should hire him. He had a history there, spent 6 years there as a defensive assistant. Then he goes to San Francisco. You saw what he did with that team last year. I thought he would have been hired last year as a head coach. He wasn't. And to me, he was the hot guy this year. And the fact that the Jets jumped the line and got him, I think, is a real stroke of genius for a team that's not really known for any sort of genius moves. But the immediate reaction is terrific in the city, and people are going, well, this is fabulous. And you listen to some of the responses from people outside the organization. I think Richard Sherman said it's a great hire. He's a great coach. His players love playing for him, and you saw the results on the field. The 49ers this year were kind of interesting defensively. Offensively, not so much, but he did wonders with that team.
Yeah, it's interesting, too, because, you know, to me, if you were to say, like, what's the, you know, what is the top question for the Jets? They got the number two overall pick in the draft. Do they still like Sam Darnold? Do they not? And you bring in a defensive coach, and I hear you. Everything that you're saying seems spot on. He gets tremendous endorsements from anybody who had played for him, anybody who had covered him in San Francisco and elsewhere. But, you know, the only surprise, if there's any surprise for this hire, Clark, for me is, I don't know what this means for the quarterback. I don't know what this means in the quarterbacking situation. Not a defensive guy can't make a decision, but you know, you would think that figuring out the quarterback situation would be the top priority, and you know, it's interesting.
Yeah, but I mean, I look at Buffalo. They had Sean McDermott. So what'd they do? They brought in Brian Daboll. Look at the difference there with Josh Allen, what it's meant for them. And so I look at this situation in New York and say, nah, absolutely, if he hires the right OC, offensive coordinator, and maybe he's going to bring in Matt LaFleur's son, who knows, and that's sort of the idea that he might bring him in from the 49ers staff. But if he brings in the right guy, it could be a good fit for whoever the quarterback is. I'm almost certain it's not going to be Sam Darnold. I mean, if you watch the Jets this year, you had to know they were moving in another direction. He's had enough time to do something, did nothing. He looked good one game, not so good the next. We got the good, bad, and the ugly, but mostly the bad and the ugly with Sam Darnold this year. And with a second pick, I'd be shocked, absolutely shocked, if they didn't take a quarterback. Now, after watching that Alabama game the other night, I thought, well, maybe you go for the wide receiver. But no, I'd be stunned if they didn't take a quarterback. Sam Darnold's days there are over. He needs to go somewhere else, and the Jets need to move on without him.
Wow. All right. Clark Judge, Talk of Fame Network, joining us on Extra 1360. Urban Meyer will be a head coach in the NFL. He goes to a region where he is beloved. He goes to the Jacksonville Jaguars. We know the storylines here. He gets the number one overall pick. Your thoughts on the Jags' decision to go with Urban Meyer and his decision to go into the NFL?
Yeah, I'm always wary of this, Darren. We know these highfalutin college coaches who come to the NFL, and because of some of the recent experiences, you know, I know Jim Harbaugh, he was very successful when he went to San Francisco, and then he moves on to Michigan. But I look at what happened with Steve Spurrier when he went to Washington, and he wasn't successful. And honestly, I covered that division pretty carefully because I was living in New York. And I remember talking to a head coach somewhere, and he goes, this guy thinks he knows everything. He goes, I can't wait to play him. I can't wait to play him. We're going to kill him. And he did. And he said, don't write that down, which, of course, I didn't. But he said, you know, he comes in, these guys come in here, and they think they invented the game. It's a different game here. And so I look at Nick Saban. You know, Nick Saban, maybe the greatest college coach ever. What did he do in Miami? Nothing. He did nothing, and he went back to the colleges. So I look at this and think, they're giving him a lot of money to take a bad and dysfunctional organization and turn it around. I don't know that that can happen. He's certainly got an opportunity. They've got a lot of cap room. They've got the number one pick, and I would think it would be Trevor Lawrence. And so they've got opportunities. But this is someone who hasn't been a head coach in the NFL before. And so is he going to hire the right people? We don't know that. I trust others who've been in the league for a while, and you know, like Robert Saleh with the Jets. He knows what it's about. So I have confidence that even though that organization is as dysfunctional as it is in New York, that he will make the right decisions to overcome some of those setbacks or minuses. In this situation, I'm not so sure because I don't think the owner knows what he's doing. I think he went after a name, got a big name, paid him a lot of money. Now let's see what's going to happen. But I, as I said, I saw it happen with Spurrier. I saw it happen with Saban. For Jacksonville's sake, I hope it doesn't happen with this guy.
Clark Judge joining us on Extra 1360. The news today is Arthur Smith will leave as the offensive coordinator of the Tennessee Titans, and he will go to Atlanta. I don't know much about Arthur Smith. We learned a little bit about him here over the last couple of weeks. Your thought on that decision?
Yeah, it makes sense, again, because of what he did for that offense in Tennessee. They scored a lot of points this year. They averaged over 30 points a game, and he resuscitated Ryan Tannehill. Now, what are you going to do in Atlanta? Because I don't really think you're going to resuscitate Matt Ryan. He's near the end of his career, and he seems to be declining pretty steadily. So are you bringing him in here to school his successor? Are you going to draft a young quarterback who's going to take over for Matt Ryan within the next year? I don't know, but I know what he did in Tennessee. Derrick Henry had his best years, obviously, there. But Ryan Tannehill, to me, is the X factor, what he did there. I think you'll go, if he could do that there, what could he do for our quarterback, whoever he is here in Atlanta? Because we need to catch up. I mean, Brady is around for, what, 1 or 2 years more? We don't know. Drew Brees, 1 year, maybe no. He's probably going to leave after this year. We've got a chance now to get a leg up on some of the competition. So it makes sense to me from that standpoint. They've got some playmakers. Ridley's a terrific receiver. Jones is a terrific receiver. They probably need another running back besides Todd Gurley because he seems to be hurt all the time. But you need someone to perk up that offense. This may be the guy because that's what he did in Tennessee.
Is there a coach now with the four vacancies, at least four that we know of, Philadelphia, Detroit, Houston, and the Chargers? Is there somebody who you think is the most in demand of all of the candidates whose names that we hear tossed around? Who is it?
Yes, two. Brian Daboll and Eric Bieniemy. I would believe Eric Bieniemy is going to get a job somewhere. Now, I said this to you before, and I'm trying to put this in context, but Eric Bieniemy is one of the most professional guys I've ever been around. I cover him as a player. I've been around him as a coach. He knows everything that's going on. He comes from the right tree, Andy Reid's tree. Look at the coaching tree. John Harbaugh. Oh, yeah. Sean McDermott. Oh, yeah. Kevin Stefanski. Yeah, he was an intern there with the Eagles. They all come from the Andy Reid coaching tree, and they're all still alive in the AFC playoffs. So you probably want somebody from there. And I look at what's going on with that situation, and I think, you know, it's Andy Reid who calls the plays. It's not Eric Bieniemy, but he's involved in it. So he is an asset. If you can't get Andy Reid, get the next best thing. Oh, yeah, that'd be Eric Bieniemy. So I think he's number one. But right behind is Brian Daboll. And I'd be honestly surprised if Brian Daboll doesn't go to the Chargers. It makes perfect sense. Again, look what he did with Josh Allen in Buffalo. Can he do the same thing with Justin Herbert? Now, Justin Herbert's got a leg up on Josh Herbert already. I mean, he's just an outstanding quarterback in his first year. Josh Allen was a work in progress, but you saw from the first to the third season, made a quantum leap. And I think what's going on in Buffalo is a result of, or a lot of result of Brian Daboll's presence. I would think he would be one of the two hottest guys, but those are the two guys I look at as the most in demand. So anyway, I'd start with those two.
How bad do you think the situation is in Houston? Some very cryptic tweeting today
bad.
From Deshaun
Watson.
How bad is it?
Yeah, you've got Andre Johnson weighing in now. Deshaun Watson unhappy. I mean, listen, they're not going to trade just Deshaun Watson. They're not going to make that mistake twice in the same year. They got rid of the star receiver last year. You're not going to get rid of the marquee quarterback. Now, he can threaten to sit out. I mean, he can do whatever he wants, but leverage is with the team, and they're not going to trade him. They're just not going to. He's their best player. So they've got to somehow get a head coach there. And I know what, you know, the rumors are that Jim Caldwell, but they've got to get a head coach there that he's comfortable with. And I'm talking about the quarterback, Deshaun Watson. But Andre Johnson's weighing in, as I said. Even DeAndre Hopkins has gotten in there, and they've gotten their cheap shots. And it just looks bad. I mean, J.J. Watt doesn't look like a guy who's real happy. I'm not sure he'll be back. It's a bad situation for a team that was going to the playoffs fairly regularly and then just self-destructed this year. But it looks right now as if there's really no leadership. So I think that's on Cal McNair to straighten out. But the quarterback's not going anywhere. He can complain all he wants, but he's staying. How do you mollify him? And I think you mollify him by bringing him in with the head coaching search and find someone that he's at least comfortable with.
Mollify. All right, Clark, I like it. We're digging deep into the thesaurus today. I like that word. That's a very good word. We appreciate it when we use language like that on the show. Let's go to the playoff games. I find myself really sort of torn on this first game because I realize how special this Rams defense is with Aaron Donald, who, you know, may not be 100%, and Jalen Ramsey. And it's not just them. They've got really good pieces. They've got a defensive coordinator who has emerged here in a very, very short amount of time here as a star in the coaching ranks. And I love Aaron Rodgers. And you know, for me, like, him getting to a second Super Bowl is something that I've wanted to see for over a decade now. I find myself completely torn from a rooting interest standpoint here. But I just don't know, you know, given the condition, physical condition of the Rams heading into Green Bay, how much I like their chances. I think it'll be close. I think that defense will travel. And I think that running game is legit. But ultimately, you know, at home against Aaron Rodgers, given the type of season that they have, I'm having a tough time talking myself into picking the Rams.
Yeah, I'm with you. After that game last week where I watched the Rams against Seattle, I thought, there's a team that can beat Green Bay. They can beat Green Bay. However, to me, there are two key factors here. One is are the injuries that you mentioned. The key injury, Aaron Donald. How effective is he going to be? How good is he with that rib injury? And what is the injury? How severe was the injury? We don't know. We know he's going to play, so we don't know. But if he's close to 100%, he's a load. And then you've got Leonard Floyd, so they can create a lot of trouble for Aaron Rodgers. We just don't know what Aaron Donald's situation is. But he's not alone. So then you go, okay, Cooper Kupp, what's his situation? He's questionable with a knee injury. Oof, oh, that's not good. But wait a minute. Let's just start with the most important position of all, quarterback Jared Goff. I don't have a lot of confidence in him if he's healthy. I have almost no confidence in him with the fractured thumb. And so what are we going to get from him? And that coupled with the second component, which is the weather. It's liable to be cold. It's going to be under 30 degrees. I know it's not going to be really cold, but it's supposed to be in the 20s, I think, when they play there. Maybe that sounds cold to you, but it doesn't to us in the Northeast. It certainly doesn't to people in Green Bay. But that's cold for Southern California teams. And Jared Goff, I saw the stat, you know, under 30 degrees, no touchdowns, two games, no touchdowns, five interceptions. That concerns me, too. So if they're going to have trouble putting points on the board with a quarterback who's impaired, how are they going to keep Aaron Rodgers and that offense from scoring? I think Jalen Ramsey can take Devontae Adams out of the game. I do. But can Aaron Rodgers then find other targets? Aaron Jones a factor. What's going to happen here? And the fact that they're at home, I think all those factors weigh in Green Bay's favor. And I'm with you. I think it'll be closer than most people think. But I like the Packers.
All right. Like that. Clark giving us a 6.5 heads up on that one. You know, it's interesting. Just a real quick follow-up on Aaron Donald, because we had a reporter on from the NFL Network earlier this week who we like a lot. I'm not knocking him. His name is Greg Rosenthal. And you know, he's a little bit younger. Yeah, he's really good, really smart guy, but a little younger. And he said Aaron Donald is the best defensive player, maybe the best defensive player that he has seen. Now, he's not saying the best defensive player of all time. Okay. He just said, I don't get into generations. I'm just telling you, he's the best that I have seen in my lifetime. Again, his perspective. And it made me think, I was like, wow, you know, maybe I'm sort of missing out. I know he's terrific, but Clark, as somebody who's seen generations of this league play, I mean, how special is Aaron Donald for you?
Well, he's special. I mean, he is the best of his generation. I heard Troy Aikman last weekend say he's the best defensive player in the game today, and maybe the greatest ever. Not Troy Aikman, who is a little bit older than Greg Rosenthal, but I heard that and thought, oh, wait a minute. How about LT, Lawrence Taylor? Not LaDainian Tomlinson. How about Lawrence Taylor? Wait a minute. How about Joe Green? I mean, Joe Green played the same position. He was a dominant player. And then people say, well, he had a lot of great players around him. Yeah, he did, but he was a dominant player. So I put him in the category with those guys. For me to say that he's better than them, I'd be hard-pressed. I mean, and I saw Dick Butkus, mm-hmm. and now he didn't play that position, but he's a middle linebacker. He was the best middle linebacker I saw in my lifetime. I think to make that statement, he was safe in saying the best he had seen. That's probably safe. But, you know, I'd ask him, did you see Joe Green? Did you see, I would think you probably saw Lawrence Taylor, right? If you didn't, maybe you saw some clips of him. Those are guys that come quickly to my mind.
Bills won an exciting game last week. Like, that was a really, really exciting game. But, you know, when you unpack that game a little bit, there's a lot of things not to like about how the Bills won it. They gave up a million yards. Their key running back got hurt. Singletary's okay. But that said, I don't know, Clark. To me, as exciting as it was, it sort of was deodorant for a lot of things that sort of stunk about Buffalo's performance. I know, just win, but there's a lot of things to like about Baltimore's chances this weekend for me.
Absolutely. It's funny you talk about being torn on a game. This is a game I'm torn on because my heart says Buffalo, my head says Baltimore. I mean, what does Baltimore do well? Run the ball. What does Buffalo not do well? Defend the run. We saw that against Kansas City early this year. They ran for 245 yards against them. Then we saw that defense last year get shredded for 472 yards by Indianapolis. And by all rights, and I know you probably have Bills fans out there, and you know, more power to them, but by all rights, they should have lost that game. Indianapolis should have won that ball game. And there were some decisions that were made, coaching decisions, some opportunities that were missed. And I thought Buffalo was lucky to hang on. But that'll help them going forward. And I like what they've got in Josh Allen because they've got an MVP candidate who's playing at that level. But he can only handle so much. And you put so much now on his shoulders. I don't know that he can do it here because he's got to carry that team. He's the running game now. He's the passing game. He can't make mistakes. And every so often there's a hiccup, you know, and you see that and go, well, that's Josh Allen. But there's a hiccup along the way. But how is Buffalo going to stop this Baltimore running game to put up 404 yards on Cincinnati that's averaged 293 yards over the last three games, that's got a quarterback that runs wild? How are you going to do that? And you better hope to get ahead of them because we know what Lamar Jackson is in trying to come back. Now, that was a watershed moment from last week. He came back from 10 points down. The first time in his career, he was 0-6. But that was a watershed moment, and he won a playoff game. So that's a step in the right direction. What are the Ravens on the road? They're really good on the road in the playoffs. John Harbaugh has won more road playoff games than anybody in NFL history. So going into Buffalo is not going to be daunting for them. To me, the real pressure is on the Bills and the Bills' run defense. The interior of that defensive line is vulnerable, and I think Baltimore can take advantage of it. I like the Ravens in this game.
The idea with the Cleveland Browns, the surprise of the weekend, I think, for most, is just run, play a little bit of keep away, keep Pat Mahomes on the sideline here. You think it can work?
That's my idea. Yeah, it should. But I was talking to Tony Grossi this week. We do a podcast called the Eye Test for Two. That's a plug for the Eye Test for Two podcast. But do a podcast. They had Tony Grossi on there, and I said, that's what New England did in 2018. When they went into Kansas City with Tom Brady, they didn't rely on Brady. They relied on their running backs, and they ran and ran and ran. I think they ran 47 times in that game, scored four rushing touchdowns, one in overtime, but they kept him off the field. Now, I know the game went to overtime, but still they beat Mahomes at home, and that wasn't supposed to happen. And so you look at this Cleveland team and say, it's the same formula, right? You've got two really good running backs. Do you trust the quarterback? Not like you trust Tom Brady. Baker Mayfield hasn't turned the ball over, and I would say turned the ball over, hasn't thrown an interception in four straight games. That's good. Well, because he's handing off to these guys, and they're the people who can get you to the top. Because we look at that defense, and I know they're getting some cornerbacks this week. They're getting back. Ward's coming back. Kevin Johnson's coming back. That's good. But you still don't have enough on defense to try to hold off Patrick Mahomes. But you do on offense. Just keep the ball away from him and run the clock and move the chains. New England did it, and they won. You can do it, too. But Tony Grossi on this podcast said, that's not Kevin Stefanski's his M.O. That's not his style. He's not going to do that. And he's going to lose. He said, well, I keep telling him that, but you know what? They haven't lost. They're still alive. So you got to side with him. I see that. But I'd say in this case, throw all bets out and go, listen, we got to do something different because this isn't your ordinary opponent. Defending Super Bowl champions. With Patrick Mahomes at quarterback, you've got to shake it up some. You can because the Chiefs do struggle against the run. Their opponents average 4.5 yards a carry. Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt could have a big game. Kareem Hunt says it's a personal game for him. Well, let him take it over. Don't put it in Baker Mayfield's hands. Don't. Keep it with your running backs and minimize the mistakes and maximize the use of the clock. You got a chance. But again, Tony Grossi, who's covered that team since 1984, said it ain't going to happen. Well, if that ain't going to happen, I like the Chiefs.
Final game here. I got a little bit up against the clock. Got about a minute and a half left. Clark, obviously the two quarterbacks, you know, this is what this league has been for the last 20 years. I'm glad that we finally get a chance to see Breeze and Brady in a postseason game. It's sort of surprising they never met in the Super Bowl, but now they're in the same conference. They're in the same division. We know the way it went during the regular season, 72-26 in favor of the New Orleans Saints. Really good defense. They're home. Good running game. I mean, roster for roster here, you know, take the quarterbacks out. It's impossible to do. It's the way the game is sold. But in terms of just roster for roster, you know, who do you like? Who's been built better for this type of game?
Well, if you're looking just offensively, I think Tampa Bay certainly got more weapons on the outside. I mean, New Orleans got Michael Thomas, but Tampa Bay, you look at what they've got, and it's a wealth of receivers. And then Gronk is there as a tight end. Brates there as a tight end. They've got a ton of playmakers. Ronald Jones is going to be okay for this game. He's a playmaker for them, too. And they've got the best quarterback in the game and the best quarterback really in the history of the game in the Super Bowl era. So you like them offensively. But what you don't like is their pass defense. Look what happened last week against Washington. You know, you have an XFL backup who shredded them and took them to the last 2 minutes. And I said to you before, Tom Brady's not going to be the reason that Tampa Bay exits the playoffs. It's going to be the defense. And I don't think they can hold off New Orleans. They've got camera. Murray's hurt. We don't know what the situation is with the backup quarterback, Taysom Hill. So the Saints are missing some pieces. That said, New Orleans is still the most complete team in the NFC. Offense, defense, special teams, and I'd say head coach, too. I like the Saints in this game, even though it flies against my common sense to say, Tom Brady's going to lose? What? No, I think Tom Brady's going to lose because he cannot score his defense.
Clark, outstanding, as always. Thank you very much for the time, and we'll talk to you soon.
You got it, Darren. Take care.
Clark Judge, everybody. Talk of Fame Network. You can visit it at si.com, and happy to plug away for all the different podcasts and different ways that you can hear Clark and his colleagues talking about the National Football League. We're back after this.